Psalm 103. I want to bring a message tonight that is a contrast to what I preached this morning. This morning we preached on the blessings associated with trouble or problems. Tonight I want to spend a little time talking about the problems associated with blessings. So we're going to kind of reverse it this evening. This morning the blessings or the blessings associated with the problems. Tonight the problems associated with the blessings. Doesn't sound quite right, but hopefully you will see where we're going with this evening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, tonight we come to you in prayer, and we thank you for this service. We thank you for the privilege to open the Bible again tonight and to focus upon what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll help us to, as we think about the blessings of God, help us, Lord, to avoid, to deal with these potential problems that are even associated with the blessings of God. I pray now that you would bless us and help us, and then the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, remind us again tonight, dear Lord, of the cross work of our Savior, of His sufferings in our stead. And our Father, remind us also to look up, realizing that this same one that died upon that cross and was resurrected is coming soon. So now bless us tonight in our study, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 105, let me take the liberty of reading the first five verses. The first five verses. Oh, give thanks. You know, I'm determined to preach out of 105. Maybe I'll just go ahead and do that. I'm determined. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, again tonight, in keeping with what I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, actually, I'll just go ahead and mention up front the problems that I believe could be associated with the blessings of God, and then we will focus our attention primarily, based upon Psalm 103, what would be some of these blessings of God. You will notice now, in verse number three of chapter 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, and verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. I believe that there are some problems associated with God's blessings. The problems are not in the blessings, obviously, because how could there be a problem with God's blessings? Everything the Lord gives us is good. God's blessings are perfect. God's blessings are satisfying. So there's not a problem relating to God's blessings. The problem is related to the receiver, not the giver. The giver is the Lord. Every good gift comes from above. So there's not a problem in terms of the giver, who is God. There's not a problem in terms of the blessings that He gives. The problem is with the receiver, namely us. We're the ones that have the issues. We're the ones that do not handle those blessings all the time like we should. I see a problem in three areas, or at least a potential problem. There's a problem in how we think. That's my first point. A problem in how we think. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about how we regard those blessings. In fact, the verse says, forget not all His benefits. So the problem in how we think, we have a tendency to forget the benefits. Now again, let's look at the word benefit. What would a benefit be? Benefit would be a blessing, wouldn't it? We forget God's benefits. We forget the blessings. We are prone to forget. It is amazing how we do forget. We forget the good things of the Lord. We actually have a problem with memory, short-term memory or whatever you want to call it. We can remember all kinds of other things, but for example, we can remember how others have treated us. We can remember what people have done. We can remember what people have said about us. We have a long memory when it comes to the matter of our hurts and our sorrows and our burdens, but we have a short memory when it comes to recalling just how good God has been to us. It is amazing how long we can remember and literally hold grudges, if we're not careful, of how we've been mistreated, abused, spoken falsely about, and all of that. And we have a mind like an elephant when it comes to remembering the bad things, but we are so prone to forget the benefits, the blessings of God. David certainly had his share of problems. I'm talking about the psalmist. He had problems. He calls upon his soul to remember what the Lord has done. And if David would have a problem such as that, so would we. He challenges his soul to forget not what the Lord has done. And you will notice in verses 3 through 5, he uses the word thy, thee, and thine. That's talking about his soul. He's actually speaking to his soul. He's communicating with his soul. He's preaching to himself. Now you also might be interested to know there's an interesting word found in verse number 2, and that's the word benefits. The word benefits, by the way, comes from a root word for camel. Camel. Interesting thought here. For people living in the Middle East, they knew something about the camel, of course. When I was in the Middle East, I saw camels all the time. And I used to think for a while they ate sand because I'd see nothing but sand and I'd see herds of camels. And I thought, what are they eating? Is it sand or what? But that's another story for another time. But camels, they've been called the ship of the desert. People in the Middle East use camels to ride on and to do a lot of other things. They can carry great burdens over long distances through harsh terrain. But you see, I would remind us of something that can be said about that application. Notice the word benefit, speaking about a camel, coming from the root word for camel. Well, here's the thing. We know this. God's benefits, in terms of comparing it to a camel, are, let's say, strong, do not change, lasting, and encouraging, and uplifting, and helpful. And we can say many things about that. God's benefits. What a blessing. Sometimes we forget those benefits. We forget God's promises all the time. We get into a strait or a problem in our life, and the first thing you know, we think our ship is about ready to sink. And we have to be reminded of the fact that God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. His grace will be sufficient. He'll supply our needs, but we forget His benefits. We do it all the time. So, the problems associated with God's blessings, there's a problem in how we think. We forget. Secondly, there's a problem in how we talk. How we talk. We complain. How we talk. God has blessed us, but look at how we talk. We still complain. We're as bad as Israel in the Old Testament. In fact, we're worse. You realize this? Think about this for just a moment. When it comes to Israel in the Old Testament, when you see them complaining and then you see us complaining, we're more responsible than they were in a sense because they didn't have the whole total Word of God, but we do. We're blessed in the New Testament church age that Israel was not blessed in. We have the resource of the Bible. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but yet we still complain. Israel come out of Egypt. God parted the waters and they went through the Red Sea and God fed them manna from heaven and God gave them even quail meat on special days and the Lord really took care of His people and they still had the audacity to complain and so do we. God's blessed us with benefit after benefit and we still complain. So there's a problem with God's blessings, not in terms of the giver, but in the receiver. There's a problem in the way that we think and in the way that we talk. We need to be careful when it comes to complaining. Lord, the Lord takes a dim view of complainers. My old game warden friend, George Clarkson, used to use that statement all the time. He'd talk about somebody taking a dim view. He'd talk about the law enforcement taking a dim view. God takes a dim view of complaining. We should be careful about moping and groping. That's not the right word, of course, but complaining. Something I'd like to say tonight, if I could. Preachers run their mouths a lot. Do you know that? We preach 3 sermons at least, and I teach classes in a college Tuesdays and Thursdays, about an hour class. And I run my mouth a lot in a week's time. And I hope everybody in this church understands something. When you talk a lot, you have a tendency sometimes to maybe be a little confusing to some people in terms of what you say and how they hear it. So I say, be patient with the old preacher, would you? Sometimes, and I've got one person that always reminds me when I have a pulpit blooper. And sometimes I have a pulpit blooper. I've had some dillies. I've had some such a dilly that Carol's face has turned red. And she's reminded me afterward, do you know what you said? Now, why am I on this? Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes I know we can, in the course of a lot of words, we may be confusing, and all you got to do, though, is come up to me after the service and say, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? Just like this morning, Carol reminded me of something that I said, and I'm glad of it, because I made a comment this morning that I made a comment in reference to problems result from sin. But here's what I really meant to clarify. Problems result, in other words, because of the sin nature, which we inherit, we're prone to be problematic. In other words, if Adam had not fallen, think about it, Adam wouldn't have had any problems that I can think of. But we inherited the sin nature. And you see, so indirectly, you could say that all problems do result from the fall, from sin. And you know, that's what I really meant to say, and I don't mind clarifying statements sometimes if they didn't come across quite right. Again, in the multitude of words, sometimes you don't always make yourself clear. But I appreciate patient, kind, understanding people in the church that know me by now enough to know that I wouldn't intentionally distort the truth of God's Word anyway. And, you know, that's the good thing about pastoring for a long time, too. You gain more respect and people know you by then. But sometimes, basically, what it boils down to is simply a misunderstanding. Or maybe we didn't clarify something. But it's certainly not like I've gone stupid with something and out in the left field somewhere. So everybody with me on that now. Now, coming back, though, to what we're saying here tonight. The problems associated with God's blessings. There's a problem in how we think. We forget. There's a problem in how we talk. We complain. There's a problem in how we live. Our conduct. Many Christians don't live and conduct themselves in a way that's becoming to a person who is saved, first of all, and then secondly, to a Christian who has been blessed with so many great blessings. We literally live beneath our privilege. We do not live in light of what God has blessed us with. We're saved. We're secure. We're going to heaven. We're provided for. So why do so many Christians live like they are paupers, in a sense, spiritual paupers, or live like they are bankrupt? It should not be that way in our conduct, how we live. Just like an illustration I heard years ago, this old country bumpkin got on an airplane and flew off somewhere, taking a trip. And that's back when airplanes used to give you something when you travel. more than a little pack of peanuts or a little pack of pretzels that they're so small that most of the pretzels would get stuck in the hollow of my teeth before he went to the... They're that puny. Airlines surely can do better than that, but that's a different message for another time. But anyway, back then, this guy goes on this trip, and he carries a bag lunch with him. And he's getting ready to eat a bologna sandwich. And by the way, now I like bologna sandwiches. I got tired of eating bologna sandwiches when I was a kid. Do you realize that sometimes I think Mom sent us off to school with mustard sandwiches? I believe I even ate mustard sandwiches. When I was a kid, I used to eat potted meat, and I hated it. I hated potted meat. And then we would eat Vienna sausage and stuff like that. And now I like all that stuff. I used to actually have the audacity to complain about a biscuit. And now, would to God, I could eat more biscuits. This old homemade bread you buy sliced does not cut it with a good biscuit. And I like to take that biscuit and I like to cover it good with good butter. And by the way, I don't think I ever told you this, but I put a lot of things in my mouth when I was a kid just to keep them starving to death. One time we ran out of butter, and we used lard on roast nears. You tell a nutritionist about that. They'll lock you up. And now, how I got this far along, I don't really understand. Oh, the man on the plane. I'd say a man that's got a good bologna sandwich, Brother Billy, is probably better off. Now we realize he is good off. What can beat fried bologna sandwiches? But this guy thought he was really suffering for Jesus. Just last part, just joking, of course. Had a bologna sandwich. He noticed they were serving all of these nice meals, hot meals, to the passengers. And he's sitting there and told the person beside him, "Boy, I wish I could have that meal. Wish I could eat that food. Look what I'm having to eat, a cold bologna sandwich." And they looked at him, they said, "Sir, when you bought the ticket, that means you get the meal to go along with it." And I'll tell you, that's how it is with a Christian life. God's blessed us. We're given the blessings and the privileges. We ought to live in light of our privileges. But why do some Christians live like they absolutely have nothing to live for? They walk around moaning and groaning with their heads hanging low and complaining and just, it's almost like they've been totally abandoned by God. What a tragedy. The problems that I see associated with the blessings of God is in the area of how we think, the area of how we talk, and then in the area of how we live. But again, God is not to be discredited for the blessings because they're all good. They're all good. Now, quickly tonight, and I'll be through, just to look just briefly in closing this evening. I'm actually saying closing a little bit early, of course. I mean, you know, bear with me a little longer. The blessings in Psalm 103. As a sinner, God forgives us. That's the first blessing, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? There it is. As a sinner, He forgives us. He forgives all the iniquities of the soul. He takes our sins and He puts them away from us forever. He did this through the sacrifice of Calvary. All our sins, past, present, and future. Every sin we've ever committed, every sin we are committing, and every sin we will commit was taken care of by the provision of Christ on the cross of Calvary. That never gives us a license to sin, certainly not, because the Christian does not enjoy sinning. The Spirit of God reminds us of that. He convicts us. But still yet, when it comes to what God did with our sins, He paid our sin debt in full at Calvary. We're totally free. Our sins cast as far as the east is from the west. What a broad expanse. Behind the back of God, God doesn't even see them anymore. And dropped into the depth of the deepest sea. I feel like singing tonight, "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone." Yes, the benefits He gives us. He blesses us. As a sinner, He forgives us. Are we sinless? Of course not. We sin. and the accuser of the brother of the brethren. The devil stands before the Lord, and he points at our sins. But when he does this, the saints have a person inside us. I think of the advocate. We have an advocate, do we not? Now, when the devil accuses the people of God, Jesus can literally hold up his nail-pierced hands in the face of the devil, and he can say, "This took care of that sin problem." We can be sure of that. The blessings of God: as a sinner, he forgives us. As a sick person, he heals us. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now let me point something out here tonight. These bodies we wear are often afflicted with disease and sickness, but this verse is not referring to physical healing. It is not always God's will to heal people from physical afflictions, regardless of what some preachers say. He's referring to sickness of the soul, and he certainly is a great healer there. Does it mean that God can't heal? You better believe it. God can heal. God can heal. He does heal people physically. But this verse primarily is not talking about physical healing. It's talking about spiritual healing. And my friend, that's the best healing. The healing of the soul. That's the best healing. We don't fully get it here, though. We don't get it. Sometimes I don't get it. I'm guilty, like everybody else is guilty. I'm guilty of putting more emphasis on the physical than the soul. Everyone wants to be healthy. Why, we'd be dumb if we didn't, wouldn't we? Everybody wants to be healthy. I want to be healthy. But you see, until I get my new body, until I get to heaven, I'm afraid I'm going to struggle right along with everybody else with this thing of the importance, this thing of what is really important, this thing of what is of major importance. In other words, the healing of the soul is far more valuable than the healing of the body. Most of us are going to have a new body to even understand that, or even the very least, we're going to have to get to heaven before we really see the truth of that. We're going to find out eventually, yes, it really is true that the day that God healed my soul from my iniquities, God did the greatest work in me that He ever did. I'm talking about if we went through a bout with cancer, if we went through a bout with heart trouble, if we went through a bout with you name it, and let's say we get delivered. Let's say God touches us and God brings us through it. But when we get to heaven, I'll guarantee you we will magnify and praise the Lord more for healing our soul than bringing us through this sickness, that sickness, this sickness, that sickness. Because after all, there's coming a time that the medicine isn't going to work. The doctor's hands are going to be tied. And there's nothing anybody can do, because it's going to be time for God to take us home. And then we're going to find out then the value of a soul that's been healed. Oh, the blessings of God. It is a shame that there are problems on our end associated with the blessings of God. We don't think about it. We don't ponder it. We don't mature in our development like we should. To all of our shame, we all struggle. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge, like the Bible says. And many people perish for lack of knowledge. One of the most grievous things that I find as a pastor of a church is the fact that I would love to get everybody together in this church, all together, all at the same time, teaching them all together. I'd love to see people here all the time. Listen, I feel that what I preach, because this Bible is so important, I like for every church member to get it. I want to help everybody. But it's so hurtful to any pastor. When you try your best, you study, you spend time in the Word of God, you develop messages, you pray over what to preach, only to have people many times that come to church with an attitude, "Show me something I don't already know." And when you have that attitude, you're not learning. And let me put this out for what it's worth. The best institution for learning, for being discipled, is not in the home, but it's in the church. Follow me now. God ordained the local church. He raised up pastors to preach. He raised up teachers in Sunday school classes. And when it comes to discipleship, training, and growing, if God's people would just get connected to the local church, be in Sunday school, sit in Bible classes under a teacher, that's teaching God's Word in church, because the New Testament local church is where God is blessing. I see people sometimes get off on a deep end because they think they know more than what God does, and they think the local church is not quite that important, and so therefore they figure, well, I'll just serve and worship God and grow on my own. No, if that be the case, if we all felt that way, we wouldn't even have open doors to come to church. If we all felt like we didn't need a local church, then you'd be driving down Sandy Ridge Road and you'd be looking, you'd say, that used to be where Smith Grove used to be. Because everybody decided they just didn't need to come to church. But you know, there's a blessing tonight in the way God saves us from sin. There's a blessing tonight in the way God equips us and blesses us. As a slave, He redeems us. He redeems us. And then as a son, He crowns us. Verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Do you realize tonight we've been crowned? That's what the Bible says. We have been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. I've known people that have been crowned, but they got crowned with the wrong crown. I've known people that wore a crown that became a disappointment. What about some of the people that's been crowned as, let's say, king in certain countries? They may have had a crown on their head, but they sure turned out to be despots and wicked and ungodly people. Have you ever heard of Queen Mary? No, Queen Mary, no Aunt B wasn't as bad as Queen Mary. Referencing now an old Andy Griffith movie. You remember the old drunk confined to the watch care of Andy of Aunt B. You remember that? Who ever thought I'd ever use Andy Griffith? Old Queen Mary was guilty of the blood of people. She had people murdered. And there's been kings and potentates that have had crowns on their head. But let me tell you something. When God saves a person, He crowns us with loving kindness. We're crowned with grace. I'd rather wear that crown, wouldn't you? Than to be crowned with the applause of people and then wind up losing it all when life is over. And then as a saint, He satisfies me. Verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Let me tell you something. If you can satisfy a person's mouth, you can satisfy anything about it. That's not the best interpretation of that verse now. Brother Sam, when you can satisfy a person's mouth with good fish or barbecue, he's pretty happy, isn't he? No, it's not just simply the physical organ, the mouth. God satisfies our life, our being, with good things. It's good to be satisfied with the Lord. So the blessings of the Lord, hey, don't forget them. Live in light of them. Don't complain and grumble. Just enjoy the blessings of God. Yes, my friend, there are blessings associated with problems, but there are problems associated with blessings.